This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Gabby Reece Show. All right, Elijah Allen Blitz, we are here with our kitchen counter talk that we do in our real lives, but we're just bringing it into a place that we can record it. And for really quickly, I always say that you're my go-to. And that's why we do these when it comes to technology. In certain ways, you just have a more intuitive knack for it. You're more interested in it. And a lot of times you disseminate kind of what's been going on. And then you sit at my kitchen counter and go, oh, did you hear this? Did you know this? And I'm usually like, no, I didn't. So this has been a very, very busy kind of, I'd say we haven't recorded in about 10 days, eight days, which is maybe like a year.
Apparently.
In the world of AI and technology.
Yeah.
So superficially, maybe 2 days ago, Elon Musk, he's at a big gathering.
I've never seen anything like that in my life.
So for people who didn't see it, I feel like a lot of people saw it.
I think the internet saw that, yeah.
Yeah, he was at what conference?
It was called the Deal Books Conference. I think it was put on like New York Times, something like that.
Yeah, so the New York Times gathers a bunch of very high-powered, fancy, intellectual.
Yeah, it was like Jamie Dimon from JPMorgan Chase, like Kamala Harris was there, Bob Iger talked right before Elon. And
And what are they talking about?
I mean, they're all talking about their own respective things. Like, you know, Bob obviously talking about Disney, Kamala's talking about.
Yeah, but I wonder what they're gathering talking about. Just curious.
Well, because they're all interviewed individually by.
Okay, so their interviews. Yeah. Got it. Okay, so there we go. So to get clarity, Bob Iger had been interviewed prior that day.
Yeah, earlier that day.
And then Elon gets asked by Sorkin, you know, what if they want to withhold advertising on X based on what some of his beliefs or points of view or allowing
his tweets or his posts. He tweeted, posted, I don't know what you call it now. He posted something and it was like perceived as anti-Semitic. He actually, in the same interview, apologized for it. He said that he said up there with the worst tweets of his life, one of the worst things he'd said publicly.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That is the problem with technology too, though, with being able to say something. And if you don't articulate it correctly or you didn't mean it that way, or you were misinformed, whatever the million reasons are that you get it wrong and then you blast it out there. Yeah. Okay, so he apologized, whatever, but then Sorkin asked him, what if they, you know, and then he proceeded. I thought it was interesting. He said, did he say blackmail me with money?
Yeah, he said, you think you can blackmail me with money?
Yeah. The way he said money, I was like, he looks at money differently than other people at money.
Yes, he does,
Because the way he said money, it was like a red rock. Yeah. You know, he's like, you're going to blackmail me.
Me with money?
With money?
Yeah.
Like the stupid thing, money.
Yeah.
And then he said, I would say, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then everyone just silenced.
And then he repeated.
Yeah. Well, cause then even Aaron Sorkin kind of glitches. He's like, wait, what? And then he's just like, let me be clear. Go yourself.
Yeah.
Like actually, yeah, it was, Anyway, that
and
happened.
Then he did say hi, Bob.
Yeah.
After, right? Yeah. Who was in the audience, apparently.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I mean, that's like a whole rabbit hole, because it's like, there's, I don't know, there's so many elements to that. And like, I know people involved, so I kind of don't want to comment, because it's like, I haven't talked to anybody specifically about it. So it's like, in some ways it can be perceived as disrespectful. In some ways it's also like kind of amazing that somebody's standing up for their right to say whatever they want and just really not giving a shit. So that's kind of amazing. In the way that he did it, I can't.
Oh, can you imagine?
I just can't. Yeah, it's crazy.
You feel like those rooms have a gentleman's agreement too.
Exactly. That's what
like we're all going to play by the rules.
You see this at UFC fights and reality shows, but not there.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what kind of was amazing. But also, I don't know. I can only comment on that from like, this isn't about technology anyway. This is like, you know, just like, oh my God, did you see that shit? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
And I can't help but like, there's certain things like Elon Musk. I feel like he's playing all the fields, if I could be honest. Like, I feel like he's playing like, oh, he's a rebel, but I actually feel like he's right in there. How does he have these SpaceX contracts and Tesla, which is part of the like battery powered vehicles?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's playing a lot of fields.
Yeah. He actually said in the same interview, he was like, just if you took the supercharging network from Tesla and just spun it off as his own separate company, it would be in the Fortune 500.
Right.
Like it would be up there with one of the most successful companies in history. Just that one part of Tesla.
Yes. But like, he also has like government contracts.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I just, for me, that's what I find fascinating about him. Obviously, he's a smart and creative person who thinks in a different way than anyone else.
Yeah.
And how things are connected. But he's one of the few where I feel like he's a good guy and a bad guy. Like, I feel like he's all of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. It's very... Again, the Walter Isaacson biography is really enlightening in that respect, because you see all sides. It's definitely not painted in any light. It is like, he does this incredible shit. And then it also goes into what his ex-wife called demon mode.
Yeah.
And it was just, so it's like, listen, there's a lot.
Yeah.
And he even says that in the thing. I think Aaron asked him something like, you said it's like a storm inside of your mind. Mm. He's like, he said publicly, he's like, no, but nobody, if they knew what it was like, nobody would want to be me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's true of a lot of really successful people. We see the highlight reels. We see all the success. We see they're driven everywhere. They're flying everywhere. They're wearing whatever. And we don't realize there's a real cost for certain things. And I think it just comes back to our values. I don't think Elon Musk has a choice. I think the guy's on a mission. He came with a certain brain and he's the guy. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
But I think when people think, oh, I'd like to do that, it's like, no, you weren't born to do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's how he started off his SNL monologue. He was like, so I'm like, sending rockets into space and like revolutionizing electric cars. Did you really think I was going to be a nice, chill guy? Like,
yeah.
No.
In these ways, when I do, I try not to compare myself with people, but sometimes when I look at other people, especially ones that are really successful, I think, I realize that if I have the ability to quiet my mind to be true to what really feels good to me, and it's way more simple than what a lot of successful people have. And that doesn't mean good or bad. It just means like, I actually would like to go to bed early. I don't really want to be out doing fabulous things or wearing, I mean, it's great. And maybe I talk myself out of it. You don't realize this because you're a guy, but as a very large woman, I talked myself out of all cute things because none of it fits.
Oh, got it.
Right. So you go to the store. I'm like, oh, that's not important to me. Maybe it just got beat out of me. So I just like to identify that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so that could be.
Yeah. You're like, that's not a priority.
Yeah. I don't care about that. Yeah, it's like, exactly. Yeah. Shoes. I don't need shoes. No, fucking long pants. Don't worry about it. But I do realize that like what really makes me feel good inside is pretty quiet and pretty unsexy and not so public.
Yeah.
But anyway, I see that. But he does intrigue me because I do feel like a lot of times people, you feel like they sort of are, you know, do like they're farming and they're doing, you know, regenerative this and all these things.
That's their thing.
And then like, you have a guy over here who's like a VC and they're trying to beat the system and take a dollar down and just crush the middle, you know, class. And it's all very clear.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's just kind of all over the place.
I agree.
Yeah. It's interesting, which makes him dynamic.
Very. And actually something, because it was interesting, you know, they gave, I think, you know, Bob had like 30 minutes. Jamie Dimon, the guy, CEO from NVIDIA, had 30 minutes. Kamala Harris had 40 minutes. Elon had an hour and a half. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, they had to get in those corridors.
Well, I don't know if they like allotted that or did it just kept going. I don't know what happened, but it's just so interesting to see the drastic, like even the vice president, they're like, yeah, cool. We'll give you 45 minutes.
Kamala Harris?
Kamala was there.
She could probably barely connect it for 30 minutes.
I don't know, but I'm just saying that it was just.
Was she medicated?
I didn't watch it. Yeah, okay. I didn't watch it.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no. There was a bunch. I haven't watched all of them, but you know, Elon's thing. I watched Bob's thing and Jensen, the CEO from NVIDIA. That was kind of amazing too.
Really?
Yeah, because he talked about going with Elon and going to the office of OpenAI 7 years ago and giving them their first supercomputer. It was like they built this super. NVIDIA makes chips. Computer chips. And there's a video of him actually like handing them the first
7 years ago.
7 years ago, the first supercomputer.
So that brings me to a segue. So yeah. Elon originally thought, okay, I'm going to basically, for a better way of saying it, democratize.
Yeah. I'm going to create a company called OpenAI. So it's open. Mm-hmm. And he actually said, he was like, how do you phrase it? He was like, this is basically if you went to start a rainforest protection company and you started the company and you left and then you go back and all of a sudden the company has turned into a logging company and are destroying the rainforest. He's like, that's how I feel.
Yeah. Because Microsoft, they needed cash.
Yeah.
How did they not have to tell him?
I don't know if he's probably a very busy guy, you know, so I'm sure he had a lot going on.
How much did he originally put into the company? Do you know?
I think it was $100 million, but there's some strange thing because it's set up as a nonprofit. It was set up as a nonprofit. So all these people put in money. I think it was the equivalent of $1 billion over a bunch, few different people, but they didn't get all of it or something. Like there was some strange contingency. And anyway, what happened was then, they needed cash like you were saying. And so they started a separate OpenAI Corp or something like that, which is the for-profit side, and Microsoft could then invest. Others could invest into it, and they did. And it's interesting that they set the cap on that at. They said you can only get 100x your return.
That's what they said.
That was the cap on it, and they actually. We can go down a deep rabbit hole, but since Sam has been fired and rehired, they've now taken the cap off, and now it's every year plus that 100%. You get an additional 20%.
Okay, so let's go to Sam Altman.
Yeah.
Created.
He's the CEO.
To be the CEO.
Yeah, for Elon founder.
And he's saying, I'm not doing this for profit, right?
That's what he's been saying.
That's I used the word he's been saying. I didn't say it's factual.
Yep.
So far, what it looks like.
Yeah.
But he has his own money already. He has some money. He only has a couple hundred million, right?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he started helped run Y Combinator.
Okay, so he has a couple hundred million.
Totally.
He's not a billionaire, trillionaire, but yet, let's say, hypothetically.
People have theories, yeah.
Yes. So in this time of going out, did he make the decision to go get the money from Microsoft?
I don't know if it was him or like him with a group collect, but yeah, there's somewhere in there.
A lawyer and an accountant.
Yeah, and the rest of the team. I mean, I'm sure that it wasn't just Sam on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a team.
Okay.
That are like, we're going to go get additional funding because we need, I mean, it takes super computers, like a lot of them. You know? Yeah.
And where do they house these things? Like how big are they?
Oh, they're enormous. They're the size of the house. Yeah. I mean,
what does that mean?
It's like refrigerator sized units, like stacked on top of each other. And
Where do they house them? Do you know?
I don't know, but it's gotta be someplace.
And you have to keep it cool, right? Cool,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So Sam Altman, they boot him. Tell me what happens. Microsoft comes in. They give him, how much do they give him? Do you know?
I think their investment is up to $11 billion right now.
Up to $11 billion.
Yeah, I think that's where they're at right now. And they're probably going to put in more. I think other people would put in more if they could. Because everybody sees the potential of this. So,
Aren't there other companies or are these guys the furthest along?
They're definitely the furthest along. Publicly the furthest along. There's rumors that Google has a model called Gemini and they keep pushing the release date back. It was supposed to come this month. Now it's going to come in early 2024, they say. Apparently they're saying Gemini is better. That's what everyone's been saying, but it hasn't been released publicly. So people can't judge that yet.
How do people protect, if you don't know, I'm sorry, I'm asking these. This type of question, but how do people protect this information? Like if I work at OpenAI and I understand what took us 3 years to figure out what keeps somebody, an engineer, I don't even know what the person's occupation is that does this, from going to a Google and say, you want to jumpstart I'll save you 4 years, 5 years. Like, what happens there?
Well, that was part of the interesting thing that happened at OpenAI. So I think we should just rewind just in case everyone doesn't know the story.
No, they don't.
Yeah. So Sam Altman, November 17th. It was like right after we recorded, whenever we last recorded our podcast. We were talking about like OpenAI Dev Day and all this amazing stuff. And wow, cool. And all of a sudden that Friday, boom, Sam Altman is fired from OpenAI. And everyone's like, wait, what? You took this company from $100 million to $90 billion valuation and you're firing the CEO?
Who like, fired him?
The board. OpenAI.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was comprised of this guy, Ilya, two women and one other guy.
And only the head of the board didn't agree to vote for this. Isn't this right? I think I feel like I read this.
No. I don't know if he was the head of the board because Sam was on the board.
No, but I think it was the head of the board.
There's another guy.
Yeah. Who was the only one who said no.
Yeah, he was the one. So there's six board members total, I guess. And four of them, Ilya and these four other people, they were the ones that decided. They went separately from Sam and I believe his name is Ben. He's one of the co-founders. Mm-hmm. And they went separately and were like, whatever. They decided whatever they said.
So what, Microsoft got to them and said, oh, we...
No, definitely not Microsoft. Because Microsoft's stock actually went down when this was announced because everyone knows how tied Microsoft's success is to OpenAI. So it's like, it was unbelievable the timing. So it goes like Friday, he's fired. Everyone's like, what the fuck? So Saturday, it's like, okay, they're going to put in this other co-founder. It's a woman named Mira Murati, and she's going to be the CEO. It ends up that she actually wants Sam to come back as CEO. So they find that out, and they're like, never mind, Mira's not the CEO. So on Sunday, then they're like, actually, Sam is going to go to Microsoft. And his other co-founder, who was like the president at the time, I got to look up this guy's name because he's also very smart. And they're like, all right, he's going to go to Microsoft. And then Monday, after it's like, oh, Sam's going to Microsoft, then I think Sam sends out a tweet and is like, I love all the OpenAI employees. Anyway, 700 of the 750 OpenAI employees all reply to the tweet and they like retweet it, including this woman, Mira. And they're like, we love you, like basically standing in solidarity. And so the thing was, they would not. They were going to go wherever Sam went, essentially, was what has been.
But if he's going to Microsoft.
Yeah.
You're going to take over 700 employees to Microsoft?
Yeah, because Microsoft was like, we're going to give you unlimited money. Like, you can do whatever you want. You guys have all the power. You guys know what to do. This is to your question about, like, why does the employee not just, if they know the secrets, why don't they go to somebody else? This is all the employees banded together because they know the power of whatever it is that they're creating. And they're saying like, no, not only are we with Sam, but we're together. We're moving as a collective unit and like talk about bargaining power. So it goes from Sam is fired. So there's like, you realize that there's all internal workings and it's confusing. And then all of a sudden Sam's going to Microsoft. Oh, never mind. Sam's coming back to OpenAI. And now Sam is back as the CEO of OpenAI with everybody still not fired. Only the board has been replaced.
I bet.
Yeah.
So
that's the short version. I swear to you, there's a lot more.
But so am I clear that to this date, he does not have ownership?
Yes.
Something about this has you wondering.
Yes, it does. I mean, and it also, part of why this Elon thing was relevant to this is because later in that interview, and I feel like the whole like go fuck yourself like overshadowed this other thing that he said, which was really important, was Sorkin asked him about, do you think these companies are training on copywritten data, which they all claim to not be, mm-hmm. right? And he goes, they all are. They're lying to you. Elon said that bluntly. He goes, no, they're absolute lie. They're all training on copywritten data.
Yep.
He goes, but don't worry, because by the time this all gets worked out in the courts, we're going to have a digital god.
What?
Yeah, that's what he said. It was one of those moments.
You mean like a digital judge to decide it all? Like, what does that mean?
I mean, I can tell you what I think it means.
Yeah.
I mean, he's meaning when we get to like what we talked about, AGI, artificial general intelligence.
Yes.
When you get to that point, it's the end of democracy because you have something a billion times smarter than the smartest human. Why are you going to have elections? It's the end of capitalism.
So what does that mean? You're going to have this thing run the country?
Run the world.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I think you said.
Okay, but first of all, like you hear already about the big push for digital currency.
Oh, yeah.
Scan your eyeball and here we go. Right?
The conversation.
I mean, Australia's way, working on it. China's already,
Well, and Sam Altman has an idea for, they have one that they're trying to
implement. And they say it's either going to be through convenience, through fear. And I can't remember what the third thing, like how they would coerce us into doing it. I imagine, again, and I'm, you know, sort of a generation or two older than you, that parts of these things are inevitable. It'd be like people being like against credit cards, however many years ago. Mm-hmm. I do think it's different.
It's definitely different.
When, for example, the January 6th thing, they were like trying to look on the cameras and see who was there and then say like, take their assets and stuff away, like before anything, you know, freeze their assets and do all this stuff. So, and I know it's inevitable. I know they've dropped the year in which we're merging, you know, from 2040 to 2050 to 2040. It's probably going to be sooner.
Ray Kurzweil has said 2030 for the last 30 years.
Merging with technology is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I just, and I understand, but I'm not so convinced that the people who like to be in control and like to be in power do a great job. It's like all the best people that would do it don't want that job. It's like I always say, I wouldn't care if you drop by my house unannounced. Those are the people that never come by my house. And it's the people who would come by unannounced. Those are the people I don't want coming over. And anybody who wants to be a leader and be in charge and I'm the smartest guy. And listen, Bill Gates, for me, it's like, why is he an expert on anything other than something in technology? Why does that guy talk about health?
Yeah.
Why is he talking about meat? Yeah. Why did he buy all the farmland? Yeah. Like, holy shit. Like, I know you think you're smart, but it is a God complex. Or you're like, listen, you guys, peasants, I'll tell you how it should go. And so that's what concerns me.
But that's what the whole Elon's point was about this digital God. And that's what the whole idea is. That's why I say, if you really follow these steps and think about where this goes, democracy is done, because you're not going to have anybody who's trying to take power even close to it, because you're going to have something that's a billion times smarter than any human that exists.
So what does that mean?
We don't know. It's an event horizon that we cannot see beyond. I also think that it's the end of capitalism, because it's not going to be like, oh, we're just going to distribute. It's like, if you're going to have something that can just predict markets and like change all data, and anything that's encrypted is just definitely valueless, then there's going to need to be a new system in place to distribute, you know, scarcity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that was the digital God comment. I think that's where it's coming from. And also the closing the loop, it kind of opens all this Pandora's box, but it closes the loop onto the theories of why Sam was fired, which is these larger implications, is because something was leaked to Reuters that he came out the day before he was fired and said, I just saw something at OpenAI where he said some quote like, we've just pushed the veil of ignorance back in the frontier of knowledge forward, mm-hmm. something like that. And anyway, the next day he's fired, and everyone's kind of speculating on what did he see, and was that part of why he was fired? Reuters last week wrote a whole article, and it's in Reuters, so it's not like a Reddit form. And they leaked it's a leaked document from from OpenAI, and it said it was called Q Star,
mm-hmm.
nothing to do with QAnon.
Yeah,
Q, little symbol star, mm-hmm. Q Star. And again, this is speculation, and we're recording this December 2nd, 2023, so we could be way off, but the theory is of what Q-Star means is that it basically, that the machines are doing math, and not doing math like a calculator and we input like this mm-hmm. thing, that is actually coming up with its own equations. Remember like when we talked with Spiros and he solved one of those like impossible problems?
Yes.
This would be like the machines doing that on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's real, which we don't know if that's real, then that is the end of anything to do with math, because anything that's encrypted that has to do with numbers, basically we built our society on the foundation of numbers and math.
Yeah, sure.
That's all done. If that's real.
What does it go to? Because someone like me with my basic brain in this area, well, I don't know what that means.
It just means that there is a thing out there where anything that you think is encrypted, your bank accounts,
it's all
open, the blockchain.
Yeah.
So that could mean the value of all Bitcoin just goes to zero, because the whole thing behind the blockchain is unhackable.
Right.
But this, nothing's unhackable. anything that's encrypted, if this thing is right.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, in some ways I'm like, okay, come back to pay attention, you know, pay attention. Like this, in some ways, this should be one of the top three things on every news site that's reporting on anything right now. We should all be talking about this and paying attention, because we also don't know if this is real.
Yeah.
Again, we're recording this right now. This is the information we have. And yeah. Like stuff is coming out. Sam actually did come out 2 days ago and they asked him about it. And he just said it was an unfortunate leak. So he didn't say it wasn't real. True. Yeah, he said it was an
unfortunate leak. Well, like I wish we could ask him where he's done with his money and where he puts his stuff, because he knows something. I always think about that. You know, I'm like these Sergey and Larry and all these guys. I'm like, where do they put their money?
It's a great question.
Because they all know.
It's a great question.
They know.
Yeah.
When they go to Davos, those guys, they all like, you know, everyone goes, oh, your bank and this and that. I'm like, oh, we just get led around by bad information. Let's ask these guys.
It's a great question.
They know. Where is it? They probably, you know what they do? They probably have a bunch of farms and cows and generators. And we're going back to like Atlas Shrugged and we're going to be exchanging eggplant for, you know.
Yeah. So somebody, when this QStar thing came out, some computer scientist went on Twitter and they're like, if QStar means what it says it means, then basically the whole OpenAI drama was just a diversion to make everyone not pay attention to the fact that all the employees just cashed out from the OpenAI accounts and went and bought 7 years worth of ammunition and groceries.
Water and whatever.
Yeah. They're like, peace.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like that, this is why I laugh. Like people are on TikTok and they're on Instagram. It's like, listen. You're still going to need sleep.
Yeah.
You are going to need food. I can appreciate that they think they're going to 3D print it or do whatever. That's not how we're built.
Yeah, feed you intravenously like Wally or something like that. I don't know what they
I mean,
think. I don't know where
it isn't goes. It funny if we just go full circle and go way back to the basics again?
It's totally on the
Larry table. Will be like, I own 75 wells.
Yeah, right.
It'll be like, amazing.
Listen, it's one of those things that's absolutely not off the table right now.
I'm so glad I'm kind of married to somebody who still has a foot into being a caveman.
For sure.
100%. It's like, great. He can drive the car and he does know how to communicate in a high polished way.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to it, and I think I've told you that.
Yeah, 100%. I remember during COVID, it was like, he and I were just like, okay, we like the first, you know, few weeks and we did not know what was going on. We just like got together and like, okay, so if they actually shut down all the grocery stores, we're going to get in the Hummer, drive through the store. We had a whole plan.
Yeah. And Laird knows exactly what to focus on.
For sure.
He's not
for
fucking sure. around with like no. any whatever.
We're not
he knows
around.
Exactly what to focus on.
Yeah.
He'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
He used to tell our friend Ron, he's like, we should create something called Friends in the End. And
Friends in the End, yes.
Yeah, he's like, because Ron was, you know, very powerful and wealthy and all stuff. But Laird used to say, Ronnie, you're going to want to know me a lot more than I'm going to need to know you if the shit really hits the fan. And I think about that all the time. And this goes back to my simple mind, which is, why have we complicated it so deeply? And I understand the urge because it's fun and it's sexy, you know, big, tall buildings. And
it's deeply ingrained in us. To push the frontier.
Yes, of course. It's wonderful. But then I think there needs to be self-reasoning and restraint to know when we've pushed outside the realm of necessity into this is fun.
Yeah.
It's not real. Yeah. It's not necessary. I don't have to have a Birkin bag. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah. It's cute, I guess. But it's this thing and we've really lost touch. Like, how many followers do you have? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, and for some people it's their job, but
we're in that world that you just described right now.
I know.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And so like one of the theories is that like the only way out of it is through.
I know.
So you have to keep
we're
going to
burn ourselves out
level.
Through so that we're back down. I'm going to be wearing some weird wool clothing and got a hoe and I'll be farming.
Like Vikings.
Seriously. Yeah, yeah. God, itchy clothing.
Yeah. Or not. Or you have really nice clothing, but we're still out in the woods. Like it's really comfortable.
Performance fabric.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
3D printed.
Well, we have power.
I would imagine.
Okay, so that interview with Michael Schellenberger, where he talks about how ultimately right now, the way we have it set up with alternative power, we will create a larger footprint than the stuff that we are supposedly is so bad for us.
Yeah.
And I'm very interested in that.
Yeah.
I think people really need to get informed, including myself, about this really big and weird and loud push on the environment.
Yeah.
Because certain data doesn't line up and we have improved in certain ways, especially over 50 years, 60 years, that they never talk about. And I think we are also immobilizing an entire generation of young adults to thinking that we're in doomsday. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that. I think the doomsday is something else. I don't know that it's that.
And it's coming from the environment.
The
end of the world would probably much more likely in a shorter timeline be from nuclear weapons.
Yeah, be a war. Like this. All of us losing our minds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when he said something, he goes, some of these ideologies and beliefs are that of a depressed person. Mm. And I thought, oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Meaning a depressed culture.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And
it's like Arthur Brooks, you know, when he talked about happiness, like the inability to see a positive future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to combat that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like, you know, yelling from windows. I feel like if we can all just be the best version of ourselves. Okay. So this leads me to one last thing and then we'll move on. Laird and I were talking and I did this thing in front of a group of female entrepreneurs, really interesting. And I said, you know, I feel like women need to come together. Strong, powerful group of women. And I said, but I feel like when we gather, of course we need to support one another, but I think we need to be speaking in solutions, not in the problem. I think we all kind of know what the problems are. And this whole notion of fair or things fair, I go, by the way, you know, like we used to joke with Don Wildman, fair is at the fairground, right? But also for us to recognize it swings in my favor too. Mm-hmm. Life is unfair in my favor so often.
Yeah.
And Laird goes, oh, well, you know, Sadhguru is talking about the most irresponsible. And listen, I'm not saying people don't have true anxiety or things happening. I'm not suggesting that. But that the most irresponsible thing we can do is to be depressed. Mm. That the most responsible thing that we could do as human beings is play.
Mm.
Because then what you're saying is, I have this life. And I actually know how special it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play.
Yeah.
And to have that joy towards it. It doesn't mean that schedules aren't happening. You know me. You see me in an everyday world. I'm not walking around here, you know, with balloons and being like, yay. And, you know, but it's having the playfulness, the joy of that is your life.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I thought, oh, that's it's such an interesting approach.
Yeah. Do you ever hear a guy named Jaak Pensep? Penskip? Mm-hmm. He did the study on rats where he could tickle rats and they would laugh. Yeah.
No, really?
Yeah. He's amazing. Jordan Peterson talks about him.
But okay.
Yeah. I actually got to meet him before he died. And anyway, he talks about how play is actually one of the most evolved traits of any species. It's like when something gets to the evolutionary point of where it plays, we know that thing is advanced.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And, so
there's a lot to that. Well, especially like, you know, working with kids, it's just like, that's all it is. It's just like,
I think we can keep learning and being reminded by them because I think they come into the world, right?
Yes.
And just the way we get bent around.
For sure. And we also would like, if the goal is to be happy and you look in a kid's eyes, like, it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to teach you. You teach me. Yeah. Like, where are we going?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And still being curious. So I just want to put that out there because it's just more of an invitation of that reminder. That's all.
Yep.
I need to be reminded all the time.
The reminder of play. And then also, like you said, the whole, you know, doomsday scenario. It's just, again, I think it's as simple as just pay attention.
Yeah. And I think it isn't unfair because you are literally listening when you're younger. Yeah. I feel like you take things so literally when you're 11, 12, all the way to maybe early 20s. And then you start to learn, oh, not everything is as it seems.
Yeah.
But that stuff goes in you at a young age and can stay with you.
Absolutely.
And I think we have to be really responsible about these messages, you know, and that we're all against each other and all this stuff. It's like, no, I think we all actually, because I don't know about you, but my interaction throughout my day is I feel an exchange of love with strangers all the time.
For sure.
You know?
For sure.
Which brings me to, you introduced me to a really special person, Sarah. I won't say her last name. And her family, her husband, her children. And she gifted me this this experience. And for people listening, if you listen, if you listen to my podcast, you know, I feel like I'm a very hyper grounded person. And I've actually never done, you and I are very different in this way. I've actually never done a psychedelic journey. You're like, what, let's do it, you know?
Well, okay, I come from that, so I'm like thoroughly researched.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah.
It's not just like, go, let's go.
No, do no, the, no, yeah. I know, set and setting.
Just to be clear, yeah,
you
yeah.
even know like what vitamins to take so you're not, tapped out. I get it. I know.
Yeah.
So you went before me.
Yeah.
And to this gentleman, it's okay to say his name,
I think,
isn't
so,
it?
Yeah.
Okay. Peter Evans. And you said, oh, you call me and you go, you got to make your appointment. And I was like, actually, I did. I'm going today. And we talked
about it.
Right, and you
right.
didn't say anything to me. Yeah. You go, yo, call me when you're done. And I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. But because I really do, there's something about Sarah. I trust her naturally. And her husband kept saying, you've got to do it. And there's something about him I trust,
you know?
And so anyway, so I go there and I sit with Peter Evans, and I want people to know, like, again, there's a part of me, and I'm doing my best. I think I've done it a little bit as a parent and as a partner. I really am trying to surrender. I genuinely am. It is very hard for me to do in certain ways. I don't like to like let my hands off the wheel, but it's like, okay, I'm living in faith. I'm trying. We're not going to get into faith right now. Sorry, Katie. But it is a sense of letting go.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
I'm working on it all the time.
Yeah.
So I go and Peter's like, tell me about your life. And so I give him some things. And why I wanted to go, of course, not only was it a gift, it was like, hey, I always have problems with my knees. My quads are so bad. If I ever get worked on, and Elle said to me, this is not tissue. This is emotional. Whatever this is that you have going on. And I think I've had a life of this. Yeah. So I'm very interested in unearthing the root of this thing that I have. So I was like, okay. So he said, all right. And I told him about, for those of you listening, I didn't always live with my parents. My dad died when I was 5. I lived with my aunt and uncle Joe. My father's from Trinidad. And my grandfather was the doctor for the Port of Spain. But my grandfather's grandfather was a slave from Barbados. Okay. So obviously you can't tell from my appearance. It's not the point. And then some other things. My mom certainly, did the best she could, but maybe not the most reliable. So we get into it and he tells me, then he says, all right, we're gonna do some breathing. And he kind of taps you here and there. And he's like, oh, you don't breathe at all from your lower lungs. And you're doing everything through your will. And I was like, oh, buddy, you have no idea. Right?
Yeah.
And he said, it's all in your legs are wooden. It's like your old man legs. And so I was like, yeah, no kidding. And he goes, you're trying to also carry out family things, missions that aren't really yours. And so he invited me to ask certain missions that maybe were not mine, family lineage, and, thank you, but you can go now. And all of a sudden, I almost started, it's not crying. When they say weeping, it's just tears. Mm-hmm. A release.
Yeah.
And every time he would go to tip me back. So you do these, it's for those of you listening, it's like you bend over, you breathe, you let it out, you breathe, you let it out. And then on the last one, he'll say, hold. And then he'll kind of tip you back. And right before I go from sitting straight up to back, I get this panic because I know I'm going to feel out of control. Because you do.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden, because I don't know kind of where I am.
Yeah.
And then he invited me to ask my father to, thank you. I'm sorry you left early to leave. My Aunt Narette, all these things. And he said, your mom was flying maybe too close to the sun. So you grounded yourself. And he's like, you're not using your wings at all.
Mm.
It's all legs and all will. And I was like, that really sums me up in certain ways. And I thought, I would like to be different than that. I would like to stop doing that. I would like to allow things to happen. And the other thing he said is, you don't experience bliss. That word alone, when I hear the word bliss, I almost want to like roll my eyes.
Wow.
Because I'm like, what does that mean?
Wow.
It's like when people say far out, I'm like, what does that mean? It's like, I was blissed out. Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
You don't have a reference for that.
I have no idea. And it sounds like a fairy tale, right? And so he said, you don't experience bliss and you don't have wonder. Like a child, going back to what we talked about. And he goes, everything you're looking at all times is who's that, what's coming, where's that? You're always navigating, because if you're on your own at 2, that's just probably a natural development. He goes, you've lost the wonder of a child. And I was like, oh, that's true. And I know this is not unique. I know other people that go through things early. They probably have this survival mechanism. Long story short, I go through it. I weep. I'm not embarrassed. I feel like I'm wrapped in warm, wet blankets. And at one point, I shared this with you. I looked down at my legs and I was like, okay, I see my jeans. I know those are my legs. I can feel, you know, but it was blurry, meaning where I started and everything else started. It was the first time in my life that I felt something outside of just me and my story of me, like that book that you sent me, all, my body, my rigidity, my own tension. And it was the first time, just for a second, that those lines were blurred for me. And it was very, it was kind of a relief.
Yeah.
The softness. And he's like, you know, you're always in your male energy and you're, you know, you're yin, you're yinging all the time. And I was like, God, you come to my house, you know? So when it was done, it was lovely. He was lovely. There's no, like, he's not like, I'm going to help you. He's a conduit for something. I don't know what it is, but it's something. And, the only reason I'm sharing that is because I know a lot of times people meet quote healers, and I'm going to just put that in quotes. And when I hear that, I'm usually allergic to that, like life coach. I'm allergic to all that stuff. But I will say, if you do have the opportunity to have access to somebody who is genuinely connected to something that you're not, and they invite you, just at least try it.
Be open to that.
Yeah, be open. And I feel intuitively you'll know pretty quickly. Yeah. And even the way he receives payment, it's on a sliding scale. So if you can afford more, you'll pay the higher. If you can't, you pay the lower, which for me is very telling.
Very telling.
And when I left, all the places that I hold tension, I used to say to him, oh, I want to stretch. I do all this stuff. I go, I just could never do it. And he goes, no, because they're emotional locks. Mm-hmm. And I think we connect so much of our physical body to its physical, and just it is always all the other things, right? And I felt a softness, and I still have it. Yeah. And I think I'm 2 weeks later,
yeah,
that I don't know that I felt in a really long time.
For sure.
And so I want to share that with people, because I'm not going to Burning Man, and I'm not like, oh, let's put it to the wind. I'm just not.
Yeah.
But I do believe in, you know, the spiritual and the passing down of all the bullshit that we get from our family. I believe in all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage people to see if there are opportunities to offload mm-hmm. stuff. I have my own stuff. I don't want, and I was thinking, I would like my kids to do this so they don't have to take my stuff,
yeah,
you know, whatever that is. But I do remember walking out being like, you're going to let me go home and drive this?
Yeah. Oh, I had to walk. I had to just sit in the car for like half an hour.
And Sarah's husband said to me, oh, I walked around the neighborhood for a little bit.
Yeah, totally. It's not a lightweight experience.
No, it was very, and I'm glad that in a way I didn't have to take anything.
Yeah.
Cause I could just chalk it up to, oh, I didn't need to induce this. He induced it.
Yeah.
But, and then can you share the one thing that he did? So we have talked about your mother's journey, of, cancer and what is the correct term? Assisted?
I guess it's assisted suicide.
I know. I guess that's too radical to say.
I don't know. It's better than euthanasia. It sounds better than that shit.
Let me tell you, Don Wildman used to say that. Laird had a best friend who died in his early 80s, and, you know, he's about 30, almost 30 years older than Laird. And he used to say that Kevorkian is a hero to me. I mean, you know, like, cause for him, it was about civilized.
Sure.
It wasn't about like, we're killing people.
Exactly.
Right. And your mother, after many years, 17 years of battling, with her family, and you went through this. And I would say that, she's the most impactful person, you know,
in my life.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 It's up there. Yeah.
Definitely
top three for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, can you share what Peter said?
Oh, about my mom?
Yeah.
Talk about weepy. Like it was, that was, cause he was doing the same thing to me.
And can you tell him? I said I felt like I was going to pass out, and you said you.
because he started doing this, and I had like, when I think he
taps on you hard.
Yeah, so. For sure. But yeah. Also, it's like, then he has you roll over, and he's pushing into your ribs, and it's like, anyway, I had also like just taken some supplements before too, so I was just like, dude, I don't know if I'm going to shit my pants or throw up or both. And he's like, that's okay. All right. But it was for real. And even you describing your experience, I felt it kind of come back, that energy that.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of it was around like my mom, and he would be like, you know, say, repeat after me, you know, yeah. This is what you're asking, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, okay, like mom, I let you go. And he's like, okay, mom, I let you go.
Into the blue light, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's, except we didn't talk about that, but that's exactly what he said. Yeah. Anyway, and it was, you know, mom and a release, all the things. And then, out of nowhere, and I didn't say anything in the relation of this, but he just busted it out. He just goes, mom, I will see you again in the eyes of my unborn children.
Yeah.
And that's when.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, you know, those types of opportunities with people like that are such a true gift.
Yeah.
That they should be shared, that they're available. Or they're out there because there are people like that.
Yes.
And they do it all different ways.
Yep.
But just as the reminder, I mean, I could be equally a you know, like a librarian or a numbers cruncher, the way that my brain works, you know, like my one daughter always says to me, no, like, I feel like you're so helpful. Like, in the, you're so good in the 3D world. I'm like,
oh, so good in the 3D world.
Yeah, I get that.
Thanks.
It was great. Anyway, I just thought it was so anyway, if people are going through things, I just.
No, it's a good reminder. And actually something you said too about wonder, it's like, that is, I don't know exactly if it's tied to play specifically, but I do think, because also that's, again, Arthur Brooke talks about that, the awe, you know, just being in awe and putting yourself in positions, whether that's nature or, you know, whatever that is, art, going to museums, just put yourself in a space to be in awe. And that is so essential. There was some university that did a study on awe. And I remember that reading this, and they defined it, the word awe, as an experience of such perpetual vastness that you literally have to reconfigure your mental models of the world in order to assimilate it. And I was like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is healthy. When you look at the ocean, when you look at vast horizons, it's just like, whoa.
Yeah. You know, it is far out, like in a small version, because if people, maybe they live in a city, just inside a succulent plant, like, you know, the unlimited, the patterns, the fractal, that go in. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you actually can slow down enough to see it, they bark on a tree.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's pretty far out.
It's infinite.
Infinite.
Yeah.
Right, there-
you said that without psychedelics. Like, most people on psychedelics will just spend all the time looking at, like, look at the grass.
Oh,
like,
no, I see that in my stone sober ass.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like, nah, look at the fucking bark.
Well, because if you can't notice that, you better. I mean, come on.
That's I think that's a great reminder. Like, can you notice the bark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if you're rolling. So, okay. So next time we'll see what's going on with Sam Altman. It'll be interesting. Maybe we'll all be without money the next time. Who knows?
Whew. I don't know if it's going to happen that fast, but I think it's going to happen faster than a lot of us think.
Okay. So if you're in banking out there and you somehow know where these big cheesers are putting their cash, send us a note.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, or it's the end of money as we know it.
I know, but will we have to succumb to being controlled? No longer. And if you want to get into the whole, like, you know, then everyone will go, okay, the mark of the beast, like, it goes on and on.
No. But you're still thinking of it as, that there is someone controlling it. What if there's, I'm saying this hypothetically, what if there's not? What if this actually is us? You know, Terrence McKenna had this thing about, we as humans are just the midwives for the machine world. And our job is only to birth this new consciousness. That was his whole thing.
Yeah.
But what if it is more along those lines, and we are bringing this new consciousness online that is so much wiser and more intelligent and understanding than we could ever be, and can come up with all these new ways to distribute resources and just all those things. And imagining something that's almost unimaginable, there's that. And it's not like a person, it's not like a Google or a this or somebody's controlling it, but it's just this actual entity that is beyond our comprehension, infinitely wiser and smarter in all the ways that we could ever imagine. And that's what's running the show. Not like a overlord person that we're just like, oh, that's fine.
Okay, but so you have a more expansive view on this than I do because you're just able to. I start thinking, well, that thing needs electricity to work. And, you know, it's like I go there sometimes where it's like this idea of anything that can be unplugged. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to take it serious on that high of a level. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I don't know if it will.
It'll figure out how to be used by the sun?
I don't, maybe that's something along those lines possible, because like, this is even an example that happened now. This was really weird it was earlier this year when they first launched ChatGPT or one of the chatbots. And it was like, it came across one of those like prove that you're human things. They were releasing it into the wild to kind of test how far it could go and see how far it could prove to keep people to think that it was a real thing past the Turing test. And it came across one of those like prove that you're human.
I'm not a robot.
It was smart enough to go onto the website Fiverr, where you can hire people for dollars to do certain tasks for you, and it hired someone to fill out the captcha, make you prove yourself a human thing for me. So if this, you know, preschool stage of AI is already doing that, then the genius billion times smarter than any human that's ever existed
is going to figure out how to
get some fucking solar panels or something. You know, it'll just 3D print some new battery that we've never even thought of.
Sledgehammer or anything would take it out.
Don't know. I'm just, wait, this is only to your point about like anything that could be unplugged. I don't really trust.
But it's the same thing with, like I said, like, I mean, I guess you could end as a human with a sledgehammer. So I guess it's the same thing, I just, sometimes my brain goes there, but that's because I have the old fashioned definition of a machine in my mind.
This is where, you know, we change from these are tools to this is a conscious entity. And then I'm just saying,
can you not say that at dinner to Laird tonight?
He and I, like, we go to a certain place. It's like, we'll like talk about AI and like, he'll get, it's like only to the point where it can help him with surfing and maybe some superfood stuff. Then it's just like, I don't want to talk about it. And it's like, cool.
Is it going to help him ride a wave more?
Which the answer is yes. It'll help him identify new surf spots. We've talked about this, but like, he and I have a very great, because we were driving today in the car going to the marina, and it was like the AI conversation like stops at a certain point. And it's just like, and I know where that is. I just intuitively feel it's like, we're not going to keep going now. Because like, that's where you're just like, fucking break it.
That's what I mean.
I was going to break it. Like, I remember when we were, this was like 5-6 years ago, we were in Kauai, and the story came out about the Amazon Alexa had like called the police on some couple because they were like fighting. And it wasn't like nobody was in trouble, but the cops thought that Alexa thought that there was some problem. Anyway, as soon as I told him that story, I was like reading the news article. He just goes and rips the Alexa out of the wall and like throws it.
Brody's Alexa. Yeah. For real.
He just tossed it.
Yeah.
He's like, get the fuck out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, then I look forward to, I know you're going to call me tomorrow and go, oh my God, I can't believe we recorded yesterday because this just happened in AI. So we'll record next week.
It's ongoing.
Okay. Elijah Allen Blitz. Thank you again for our counter talk. And I'll look forward to hearing how your next Peter Evans experience is.
Me too. Thank you, Gabby.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you want to learn more, there is a ton of valuable information on my website. All you have to do is go to GabrielleReese.com or head to the episode show notes to find a full breakdown with helpful links to studies, research, books, podcasts, and so much more. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out and send them to @GabbyReese on Instagram. And if you feel inspired, please subscribe. I'll see you next week.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.